The Murray Bridge Council held a meeting on Monday night. Joining me to discuss the outcomes is CEO Michael Sedgman. Hi there, Michael.
Good morning, Jenny, and good morning to your listeners.
You had to be part of the meeting from the comfort of your home. You're in isolation at the moment, been travelling around the country.
Indeed I am. Having spent a short week in Queensland, caught up in a lockdown up there, and returned to 14 days of home isolation. But thanks to the wonders of modern technology, I've been able to actively participate in council business working from home.
There you go. Yeah, you can't get off the hook that easily these days. Now, I understand some significant state government planning legislation was discussed at Monday's meeting. Is that right?
That's correct, Jenny. So the environment and food production area legislation was introduced by the previous state government. That was essentially legislation about protecting primary production land throughout the Greater Adelaide area. And unfortunately, the legislation was a bit of a blunt instrument and was applied with quite limited consultation. And as a consequence, there are a number of anomalies in terms of rural living land that is captured by the legislation in the Murray Bridge greater area. Our report on Monday night was to seek authority to lodge a submission to the State Planning Commission to seek to redress some of the anomalies of the legislation and the way it captures particularly rural land, rural living and country living areas in our council area.
Can you explain that a bit further? Like, does that mean that people that are on some land, it's confusing about how that land should be classified? Is that what you mean?
So the legislation essentially prevents subdivision for residential purposes. So that's the key limitation. Because of the way the legislation was implemented, there's been little consideration of country living and rural living blocks that don't really support primary production and ultimately prevents subdivision of that land for residential purposes.
Now, I hear that stormwater infrastructure is getting an upgrade, and that's something that was discussed on Monday.
So we presented the stormwater asset management plan. We've got existing investment in the order of $61 million. On average, we would invest over $650,000 in renewal of our existing stormwater assets each year.
What happens to the stormwater? Does it get reused in any specific properties or anything like that?
Council does have a stormwater reuse scheme that captures stormwater in various locations across the council area, particularly in the township of Murray Bridge, and is used to irrigate council parks and gardens.
Excellent. And speaking of gardens, the entrance to Murray Bridge is looking pretty good at the moment. There was the official ceremony the other day, I hear. So that's part of a big push for infrastructure work to beautify the town, right?
Indeed it is, Jenny, and the official opening of the Adelaide Road Linear Park was a significant event for the council because we celebrated and recognised a five-year project in terms of uplifting the Adelaide Road Linear Park through five stages over 5 years. I think a great uplift to the amenity of that entrance to our township.
Are there some more infrastructure projects on the way in this new financial year?
Indeed there is. We've got a capital program that sits at about $13 million and that includes our work at Sturt Reserve, the ongoing work in relation to the Swanport Master Plan implementation and importantly the ongoing investment in our footpath expansion program.
Murray Bridge Council CEO Michael Sedgman's with me. Young people are playing a role in council these days. What have you learned about the Community Advisory Committee at your latest council meeting on Monday?
So the Youth Advisory Committee is a subgroup of the Community Advisory Committee, which provides recommendations and advice to council. It's a very valuable forum which enables the council to receive the views of young people in our community. That often results in some quite innovative projects. The Youth Advisory Committee were a significant input in relation to the skate park upgrade some years ago.
Are they working on anything at the moment?
There's a number of projects in the pipeline. I think there's some public art, there's upgrade to sporting facilities, and we'll continue to watch and receive the advice of the group over the coming year.
And Michael Sedgman, how's the council looking financially for the year ahead?
So we presented our financial report to the end of May at the council meeting on Monday night. Significantly, the report reports on a $29 million in capital investment program, the delivery of strategic projects in the order of $1.7 million, and importantly, an operating result that was favourable to budget. So that sets us up well for the final set of numbers that'll go to the council in August. But I think by any measure, a solid basis as we move into the 21-22 financial year and the delivery of the business plan for that period.
Well, all the best with the rest of your isolation, and hope you have a good one. Thanks for joining me today, Michael Sedgman.
My pleasure, Jenny. Thank you.